Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah 61? As we do from time to time, Communion Sunday, we do things a little bit differently. We're going to do that today. But as always, we want to start with the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 61, would you stand with me? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you on this day, Lord, that you've turned our mourning into gladness, our ashes into a beautiful headdress. Lord, that you have given us liberty and freedom, which only truly comes from you. We ask that you breathe on us this morning, Lord, as we go through this service, as we recognize all the things that you have done for us and the things that those who have gone before us have done. We give you the glory and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today, the theme of our service is the sound of liberty. In the Old Testament, liberty was proclaimed with the sound of a shofar, the sound of a trumpet. It was sounded in the 50th year, again to proclaim the year of Jubilee, when all debts were forgiven, land was returned to its original owners, and slaves were set free. Leviticus 25 says, "You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants." So we just read from Isaiah, and Isaiah is remembering back to what God said here in Leviticus 25. "It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property, and each of you shall return to his clan. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you." And so the sound of a trumpet, the sound of the blast of the shofar, proclaimed liberty in Israel of old. This was what God said to do. The slaves would go back home. They would be set free. Property would be redeemed and given back to the family that originally owned it. And debts would be forgiven. But in our land, the sound of liberty was not with a trumpet, but with a bell. So this morning at various times, we're going to make a loud sound with a bell to proclaim liberty throughout the land. Pastor Michael, would you come? And we're going to pass out some bells this morning, and I'm going to apologize to my wife in advance because I have a little boy that's going to want one, and he's going to want to ring it all morning long. So I thought maybe we could tape the ringer and give it to him. Just anybody that wants one, till we run out. You got a whole box of them over here too. Right down there. We don't have enough for everybody, I'm sorry. So maybe like you can share, like if somebody gets to ring it one time and then maybe the next time.
All right, start preaching, brother.
All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to practice. You got to keep your bells quiet. And if I say, let the sound of liberty ring forth, what are we going to do? Good, okay. No, not now. Somebody make sure he doesn't have one. Every year we reserve this Sunday for a very special purpose, to remember the Christian heritage of our nation. Now, contrary to what you're told today, the United States is, always has been, and always will be a Christian nation. Amen? What makes her a Christian nation? Is it the behavior of her people? No. Is it her laws that were founded upon the Ten Commandments? No. Is it the behavior of our people? Is it the things we do? Is it the fact that many people still attend church on Sunday morning? Is that what makes America a Christian nation? No. What makes America a Christian nation is the covenant that the founding fathers cut with the Almighty God of heaven that makes our nation a Christian nation. And let me tell you something about covenants. They are meant to endure. They are meant to last forever, and God expects the people of this nation to honor the covenant that we made with him so long ago. Now, you might ask when the United States made a covenant with God. It happened on the very hour, in the very hour that our government was made complete, when George Washington was sworn in as president on April 30th, 1789. After Washington gave his inaugural address, Washington, Adams, members of the Congress and Senate left Federal Hall in New York City, and they walked a few hundred feet down the road to a little chapel called St. Paul's. And there they knelt as a government, as a people, and they dedicated our nation to God. And they made a covenant with him. They prayed for God's protection on this land. And they declared that he is the Lord of the land. In fact, the entire day had been announced as a national day of prayer for all the people. And this was the culmination of the hopes and desires of generations of people who came before. The pilgrims came. They didn't come for religious freedom, as we're often taught. They already had that in Holland. William Bradford said the pilgrims came here for the propagation and advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Puritans, John Witherspoon, said, we've come here to make a covenant with God. That's why we've come to the shores of this land. Very first thing the settlers did at Jamestown was to build a cross and create a church. And so in spite of what you have been told today, history tells us that the founding fathers believed and intended that the state was never to be run apart from the Christian religion. Did you hear me? The state was never to be run apart from the Christian religion. Let the sound of liberty ring forth. Listen to what history tells us. James Madison said, we have staked the whole future of our new nation not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political constitutions upon the capacity of each of ourselves to govern ourselves according to the moral principles of the Ten Commandments. Andrew Jackson said, the Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. Patrick Henry said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Adams and John Hancock both said, we recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. John Adams said, the 4th of July ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. The United States Congress in 1782, listen to this. The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools. Quite the difference from today when you can't even say a prayer at a football game. The Congress of the United States of America says not only does it approve, but it recommends the Holy Bible for use in all schools. Noah Webster said, who, by the way, could quote the Bible chapter and verse. Can you imagine that? He said, our citizens should early understand that the genuine source of correct Republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament or the Christian religion. The Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. Dr. Benjamin Rush, how many of you heard of Dr. Benjamin Rush? Almost nobody. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and he was the father of our public school system. And he said that the Bible was to be the central textbook of the public school system. He said the only means of establishing and perpetuating our Republican forms of government is the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by means of the Bible. The Bible should be read in all our schools in preference to all other books because it contains the greatest portion of that kind of knowledge which is calculated to produce private and public happiness. Till the 1930s, Dr. Rush was considered one of the three most important figures of the Revolution. He was considered more important than Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. He was right up there with George Washington. But in the 30s, history not only was forgotten, but history was rewritten. And this is why so many believe in the separation of church and state, which is something the founding fathers clearly never believed in. They intended to keep the state out of the church, but they never intended to keep the church and God's word out of the state. Amen? They recognized that without Christian principle, without Christian liberty, the state and the people would fall. The founding fathers and the Christian men who served in government, I don't know if you know this, believe it or not, but they would preach in the house every Sunday. We are a nation that was founded upon, inspired by, and upheld by the mighty word of God. Let us never forget that our liberty comes from him alone. If we forsake him and his holy word, then our liberty will soon be forgotten as well, and sadly, we see it happening today. The founding fathers fought for Christian liberty with their own lives. They shed blood and risked all to bring about the liberty of heaven down here on earth. They established a better form of government for us to enjoy based on the Holy Scriptures and the principles of heaven. Let us now remember and honor the sacrifices they made. Let us never forget that the basis of our liberty and government are the Word of God. Let the sound of liberty ring forth. We have a special number for you this morning, if I can find it in my music. You're certainly welcome to sing along with us. If tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again and begin a brand new life. I thank the Lord above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time to stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend us still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend us still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Whew. Aren't you glad that rain's gone? Just don't start complaining about the heat. Especially Tuesday, when you all show up at the high school to march in the parade. They tell us it's going to be a nice, balmy 90 degrees. What'd you say, Lynn? 78 degrees. I'll take that bet. A couple of announcements for you. There's going to be no evening meeting tonight here at the church, inviting you to just take advantage of this long holiday weekend, spending with friends and families. We do invite you to show up at the high school parking lot across from the high school, 9 a.m. Is it 9 a.m.? 9:30, to assemble to march in the parade. We're going to have a float. We're going to have opportunities for people to walk and to march. I think there's a golf cart or two going along. We're just going to have a whole menagerie of things going along. But to glorify God. On July 10th, this is very important, July 10th at 6 p.m., we're inviting all of our men to join us here at the church. We're going to be having some food, and we're going to do an introductory session about our up-and-coming men's ministry called Knights of the 21st Century. I want all you men to show up. If you just show up for the food, come for the food. But stay and hear, you know, it's really, really important. We need revival in our land. Amen? And I believe we need revival to start in our men. We need godly men to stand up in this generation. So invite all the men to come for food and come to see what Knights of the 21st Century is all about. August 5th through the 12th is White River Camp. Most of you are aware that a lot of our people are starting early, obviously, today at White River. Camp starts up there. Pastor Ron Bernier, good friend from Fall River, Massachusetts, going to be the speaker for the week. It'll be a great time. Robin and Wayne, of course, are running the youth program. I think you and Michael McCosker are sharing the adult Bible class, right? And we've got a kids program. It'll be a great time. So if you can't come up for the whole week, at least come up in the evenings or a couple of evenings and join with us. There's a note here that says Saturday, that's coming, the church will be closed for a private event. And if you haven't brought your baby bottles back, bring them back. I read today, yesterday, a post that Liz said, roughly half of the bottle's in, and they've already raised almost $11,000. So we pray that the other bottles will come in. She's claiming $20,000 this year. Amen. Let's pray. Let's receive. Children are staying up this morning. Let's receive our offering today. Pastor Brian.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let the sound of liberty ring forth. I wish we had church bells. Like, you know, the really big ones in the steeple. Everybody in town would be going, what is going on today? They just keep ringing that thing. One of the most iconic symbols of our national heritage is the Liberty Bell. And it hangs magnificently in the city of brotherly love. The Liberty Bell is a national treasure that cannot be valued based on its alloy and weight. Instead, the value of the Liberty Bell resides in the countless millions that have looked upon it as a symbol of enduring freedom, a freedom which still rings today. Just to give you a little history of the Liberty Bell, in 1751, the Pennsylvania Assembly ordered a bell from a London foundry to commemorate the Commonwealth's 50th anniversary of William Penn's 1701 charter, Pennsylvania's original constitution. Penn wrote of the liberties afforded by a people who trust, solemnly profess, and worship in his words, the Almighty God being the only Lord of conscience, Father of lights and spirits, and the author as well as object of all divine knowledge, faith, and worship, and in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In August of 1752, the bell arrived from Britain's shores. However, upon the first strike of the clapper, it cracked. Two local foundrymen, John Pass and John Snow, offered to recast the bell. Their first attempt did not fare well. The bell sounded horribly. And still it cracked again, despite their attempts to make the bell stronger. They refused to give up, and they recast the bell once again. Above their names, this declaration from Leviticus 25 that we read earlier is inscribed, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And while the bell did not shine magnificently or ring with a beautiful song, the bell served its purpose. As one pastor wrote, the bell was never perfect, but that wasn't the point. It became the physical manifestation of its message declaring freedom for all. Let the sound of liberty ring forth. Even with the crack, the bell proclaims liberty in perfect fashion. And so does the United States of America. We have never been a perfect nation. In fact, we have not protected the sacred liberty for all that we profess to by allowing men to keep slaves in former years, and in more recent years by not defending the lives of the unborn. And yet, in our imperfection, we proclaim liberty to all as a basic God-given right. Tradition tells of a chime that changed the world on July 8th, 1776. With the Liberty Bell ringing out from the tower of Independence Hall, summoning the citizens of Philadelphia to hear the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence by Colonel John Nixon. Can you imagine being in the city on that day and hearing the bell ring out and being summoned to the city square to hear these words? In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Can you imagine being there that day and hearing these historic words that changed so much of history? But the bell truly achieved its iconic status when abolitionists adopted the bell as a symbol of their movement to end slavery. It was first used, the name was first used in association in an 1837 edition of Liberty, published by the New York Anti-Slavery Society. It was, in fact, the abolitionist who gave the bell cast by Pass and Stowe the name Liberty Bell in reference to its inscription from Leviticus 25. In retrospect, it's a remarkably apt metaphor for a country literally cracked and freedom fissured for its black inhabitants. The line following Proclaim Liberty, we read earlier again, is, "It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family." In other words, you shall set the slave free. The abolitionists understood this passage to mean that the Bible demanded all slaves and prisoners be freed. And in one of the darkest chapters of American history, God moved upon the president, President Abraham Lincoln. And Lincoln saw the injustice of slavery, the imperfection of our liberty, and he sought to right it. In his Christian conviction, he saw the crooked thinking of perverse men who would enslave another human being, but also the call of the Word of God to set them free. He said, "Near 80 years ago, we began by declaring that all men are created equal. But now, from that beginning, we have run down to the other declaration, that for some men to enslave others is a sacred right of self-government. These principles cannot stand together. They are as opposite as God and mammon, and whoever holds to the one must despise the other." Abraham Lincoln was called by God to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison doors to those who were bound. And so through the leadership of President Lincoln and through the blood of so many soldiers, the bells of liberty rung for those set free from slavery. Let the sound of liberty ring forth. I hear somebody's getting ahead of me. Somebody loves liberty in this place today. Sadly, while slavery was outlawed, the oppression didn't end. And liberty had not truly yet come for many. Many years later, a man of great courage and strength rose up to speak for the oppressed and cried out for liberty for his brothers and equality for all. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. This is our hope. This is the faith that I will go back to the South with. With this faith, we'll be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we'll be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we'll be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from the Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from the Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring." And when this happens, and we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." The Lord called Lincoln to proclaim liberty and outlaw slavery. God then called Martin Luther King Jr. to show the injustice and inequity that still existed in his day and to proclaim liberty throughout the land. This is our calling too. We are to lead men to liberty. Let the sound of liberty ring forth. When Isaiah says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to proclaim liberty to the captives, it means that we are to cause one to meet liberty, to bring another into an encounter with liberty, to cause liberty to fall upon another. It isn't simply to speak about it in a loud voice or, as we might have fun today, ring a bell. It's to do like Lincoln did, to actively bring about the liberty to other, to open prison doors and break the chains that are on the wrist of the captive. It's to show and preach out against the inequity of the day like Martin Luther King Jr. did and lay down our lives for the cause of liberty as he did, if necessary. James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And so James shows my point here. It's not enough to say to someone, be free and have liberty. We must show them what it means to have liberty, what liberty it is. And we have to help them experience it for themselves by leading them to it, to cause liberty to fall upon them. Faith without works is dead. And so action is required to open the prison doors so that captives may go free. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And so for just a quick moment, I want to define liberty for you. If we're to lead others to liberty, if we're to experience liberty, then we need to know what liberty really is. Amen? American liberty, godly liberty, is defined as the freedom to do what is right. America is called the land of the free. We possess the light of liberty, and it shines from sea to shining sea. But our liberty and freedom doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. You have freedom of speech, but you do not have the freedom to slander someone else. You have the freedom of speech, but you can't go into a crowded theater and call out fire if there's no fire. Everybody with me? And so we define liberty as the freedom to act rightly. I think I know who that is. Liberty is the ability to be self-governed, to rule yourself so that no one else must. It is when we fail to exercise true liberty that laws must be enacted and force applied. Do you understand that? If everybody lived rightly, if everybody loved God and loved their neighbor as their self and treated them rightly, there would be no need for any law. There would be no need for any police. There would be no need for any military. Liberty is the right to pursue happiness, to live in the freedom of our liberty. We have liberty to pursue our dreams and our goals. We have liberty to care for our fellow human beings and the right to defend our liberty against any who would take it from us. The liberty that we enjoy is one that few in history have ever known, let alone enjoyed. Even in our weakened state, the world still envies us. How do I know that? Because people will crawl over barbed wire fences, scale walls, and cross oceans to come to the United States of America. It's the promise of liberty that draws them. It's the opportunity to experience freedom from oppression that makes them want to be a part of the American dream even still today. But I want to tell you today, without spiritual liberty, there can be no physical liberty. The groundwork for the American Revolution was laid by the preaching of many years, and the revolution started with the spiritual renewal of the people in the Great Awakening before there was ever a shot fired on the battlefield. The people of the colonies found spiritual liberty first, which led them to the desire for freedom from earthly tyranny and be self-ruled. And so we must first bring the liberty of Christ to people before they can experience earthly liberty. For without Christ, there is no freedom. Amen? Without Jesus setting you free, there is no liberty, no independence, no self-government. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ set us free and has given us liberty. Your duty as a Christian, as an American, is to proclaim the liberty that is found in Christ alone in order to set the captive free. I quoted James Madison earlier, who said that we staked our future on our ability to follow the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all men." And so we must show men how to be spiritually free so that they can experience earthly liberty. How many of you understand that liberty is something that must always be won? That tyranny is the natural order of a sinful world. And so if you're going to have liberty, if you're going to have godly freedom, someone has to fight for it. Freedom isn't free. The pilgrims risked their lives and many died to bring the gospel here to the shores of Cape Cod. The founding fathers shed their blood and the blood of their brothers and sons to secure our freedom from the tyrant King George. Abraham Lincoln sent men to die to free those held in the chains of slavery. Martin Luther King Jr. laid down his own life to bring equality to all. Freedom isn't free. Liberty is only won through blood being shed. Let the sound of liberty ring forth. We ring the bells of liberty loud and clear this morning, calling all people to loose the chains of slavery. We cry to be free from the bonds of sin, be free in the liberty of Christ. We cry out to people to know the joys of righteousness and experience the liberation, again, which comes from Christ alone. And we stand in a long line of men and women who have fought for our liberty and the liberty of our fellow man. And so we've sounded the bells of liberty this morning. But let me tell you where true liberty comes from. Our Christian liberty came not with the chime of a bell being struck, but with the chime of a hammer striking nails. It came not with the cheers of the victorious, but with the screams of agony from the Savior. Our liberty was bought not with the blood of soldiers fighting in the trenches, but with the blood of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And our freedom came from an empty tomb and a risen Savior. Amen. Let the bells of liberty ring forth.
Amen. Gentlemen, if those of you who are going to help us with communion would gather at the back there. Do you know one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith? Jesus said, if the Son of Man sets you free, you shall be free indeed. We might be free to go where we want to, do what we want to, but we are not free if we've not been set free from our sin. Pastor Brian says that a bell marked the establishment of a nation that focused on liberty. But we simply proclaim liberty then. It took years and years and years for that liberty to come into reality for many people. And quite honestly, for many people, it has not yet come into reality. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, and that sound of hammer striking nails pronounced our liberty. And yet there are many today who are not free because they've not known the faith that would bring them to Christ. Jesus is our liberty tree. The cross is our liberty tree. It was on the cross that our liberty was purchased. It was by the cross that we were set free. Jesus said in Isaiah, or quoted Isaiah 61 in the book of Luke, when he said, I've come to set the captive free. This is how he came to set the captive free. We remember that this morning. Jesus said to his disciples, whenever you do this now in the future, remember me. Take remembrance of me and the sacrifice that I made, so that you could be free from the bondage of sin. Gentlemen, if you would come.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Just before we receive these elements, I want to share something with you. God's just speaking in my heart. You know, you listen today, you get on social media, you listen to the television, you listen to the news, and everybody's got a different solution for America's problems. Get a new president, get a new Congress, impeach this one, get another one, get a new house, new government, new ideas. I'm speaking to the church this morning. If you want to save America, you need to bring men to Christ. Period. New house, new Congress, new president, new vice president, new senators, new laws, they're not going to do it. The only thing that is going to change this nation is a change in men's hearts, and the only thing that changed men's heart is the blood of Christ. I tell you this with all my heart. Receive these elements this morning in thanksgiving, but remember that this nation is still cracked because men are living without Christ. And many of us are content to come to church. We're content to sing the songs. We're content to go to the Bible studies. We're content to listen to the messages. But we let our friends and our neighbors go on in their lives without Christ, without ever saying a word, and then say, boy, I hope something will save America. The only thing that will save America is for the hearts of men to be changed by the blood of Christ. Amen? I just want to challenge you with that this morning. We have friends and neighbors and family members who are dying without Christ. And we are failing the calling of God, who said, go and preach the gospel to all men. Amen. Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat all of it. Jesus shed his blood so that men might be free. Jesus shed his blood so that our sins could be covered and we could stand before the throne of God with boldness. Jesus said, this is the blood of the New Testament, the new covenant. Pastor Brian talked about covenant this morning. They're long-term. They're long-lasting. God doesn't go back on his covenants. Amen? So as we receive the blood of Christ, we receive forgiveness that's been appropriated for us. Jesus said, this is my blood. Drink all of it. Just before we close, just spend a moment in prayer. Got a message this morning early that our sister Kathy Beam's husband, Ronnie, died in his sleep this morning. A lot of you know Kathy. She's been on and off here for a number of years. She comes with three or four ladies who come in from time to time. Kathy woke up this morning and her husband wasn't breathing. She called rescue and they were unable to revive him. Brother Ken shared with me earlier that his brother has been diagnosed with, Ken Walters, his brother has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and is in very serious condition. You know, the Word of God says that we can come and we can make our requests known. We can come and ask for healing. So I'm going to pray for Kathy and her family this morning and the loss of Kathy's husband. I'm going to pray for Ken's brother. If you're aware of someone who just needs prayer this morning, could you just lift your hand? I don't want to take the time to call out a bunch of names, but there's, yeah, prayer for healing. I'm going to pray for healing this morning. Amen. Anybody else? Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. First of all, we want to pray for Kathy and her family. What a shock that must be. I can't even imagine to wake up out of a night's sleep and find your life partner has left, has died. So we pray for Kathy right now. We pray for comfort. We know that Kathy has been very fragile over the last few years, and she depended on Ronnie for so much, and now he's gone. And that puts Kathy in danger. And so, Father, we pray not only for her peace, but we pray, Father, that you would strengthen her for the days that are ahead. And this would not be an event that would cause her great setbacks and her struggles against her addictions and those types of things. Father, we pray for Ken's brother. We ask that you would touch him, that you would heal him in Jesus' name. And, Father, all throughout this room, people have lifted their hands and said, I have someone that I'm burdened about. Would you pray for them? And so, Father, we do. You know our hearts. You know our lives. You know us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. You know every thought of our heart and every intent. So we pray for those unspoken requests signified by the raising of a hand. We ask that you would touch each body, each life, each sickness, each disease, each infirmity, wherever it is and what it's about. And in the name of Jesus, would you heal to the glory of God. And now, Father, as we go into this holiday weekend, and there will be lots of picnics and hot dogs and fireworks and flags and parades and all of those things, may we not forget our heritage, which is rooted not in humanism, but in God. Men did not set us free. God did. Father, help us to remember that and celebrate that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As you go, would you do me a favor? Put all your bells on the back table back there. Some of those bells belong personally to Mrs. Gant, and if they disappear, thank you. God bless.
God bless the USA, amen.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again and begin a brand new life, I'd thank the Lord above. Doom and living here today. Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to LA. There's pride in every American heart, and it's time to stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Thank you.